Welcome to the CMO Reset.
I'm Norman Guadagno, multi-time CMO, agency leader, and all-around marketing guy, endlessly questioning how to balance who I am with what I do.
And I'm Jeff Hadfield, longtime journalist, media person, tech industry guy, community and ecosystem builder, partnership forger, and part-time DJ.
Join us for the CMO Reset and get perspective on your work, your life, and the world we're in.
Let's dive in.
Perspective, our point of view.
I am in my mid-teens and going through my James Bond phase. I doubt I'm the only teenager to have gone through a James Bond phase. Every fan finds their way to Bond differently. I started with the books and then moved on to the movies. When I was a teenager, seeing movies after they had been in the theater was not as easy as it is today. I had to wait for a movie to appear on broadcast TV. Yes, there was a time before streaming, and before DVDs, and before Blockbuster, and VHS tapes. There was just ABC TV showing a Bond film. My uncle, Carl, worked for the company Deluxe, which was responsible for the processing of film. Movies were also not digital back then, as if that needs to be said. You can look at the credits of many movies and see the logo Color by Deluxe appear at the end. I have no idea what he actually did for Deluxe, but I do know that he was able to get full-size, genuine movie posters for me. So I was blessed with posters from James Bond films on my walls. They would be worth a pretty penny today, I suspect, but disappeared long ago. Those posters certainly fed my obsession with James Bond, and they were iconic. Just think of Goldfinger and the image that comes to mind. A good part of my love of the Bond films was also about the music. I loved the soundtrack albums, especially Goldfinger and Diamonds Are Forever. Both of them have iconic theme songs sung by the amazing Shirley Bassey and the perfect scoring by John Barry. Even without being able to see the movie, the soundtrack brought it all to life in my mind. I can listen to those albums today and get that same thrill. The character of James Bond was a product of its time. Clearly chauvinistic and imperialistic and misogynistic and likely a few other characteristics I am forgetting. Times change, and now in 2025, the Bond franchise is owned by Amazon MGM, with vaguely announced plans for a reboot in the future. Which brings me to AI. Part of what has made Bond persist across the decades is the regular updating of the actor playing the role, an act of cinematic magic that asks the audience to accept that this new guy is the guy, so please ignore the old guy. Fans have accepted this for the most part, and each has their own favorite Bond. I admit to an old school love of Connery, but also deeply appreciate the hard edge that Daniel Craig brought to the role. The debate rages on to this day, and there are very strong arguments made for updating the actor to be a person of color or a woman. Of course, the answer to me is obvious. In a few years, thanks to the magic of AI and the owners at Amazon MGM, we will be able to have our Bond of choice presented to us for a fee when we stream any Bond film. You want Sean Connery in every old Bond movie? Boom, done. You want Julia Roberts as Bond? If she licenses her image, boom, done. You want to be Bond in Goldfinger? Boom, done. This scenario is a nightmare for some and a dream for others. For professional marketers like me, the implications are vast. How can I deliver marketing that stands out in a world where everything and anything is possible? How can my customers discern the real from the unreal? And how long will it be before every CMO is waiting for the virtual knock on the door telling them that they have been replaced by a virtual CMO avatar of great CMOs of the past and present? This is the specter hanging over all of us. Shirley Bassey sang that diamonds are forever back when all diamonds came from mines, not labs, and identity and veracity seemed easier to discern than they are today. That song still sends chills up my spine when she hits those high notes. And for now, I'm going to hold on to that as something real.
Discussion.
Well, when you start talking about James Bond, a bunch of things come up for me. I, too, have been a longtime Bond fan. I have only slightly more subtle preferences for which Bond I love the most. I believe
you have to lay it out here. I think
Daniel Craig has slightly outpaced Connery for me over time, and that is, again, coming back to the books, which I also got into and read, and I've even read some of the more modern authors that have done takes on it, just because you can never really get enough James Bond stories. But
true.
I do agree
with that, and we can have a separate discussion of the gatekeeping that Amazon does on making you pay for them nowadays if you don't own
that's
them.
True. I bought that, whatever it was, the Bond 50 Blu-ray ages ago when it came out. So I have them all and tend to watch them that way. Because again, big Bond fan. I did resist going back to the shelves behind me and trying to find some soundtracks to wave for you. And since this is an audio-only podcast, I figured that was fine. And I did want to acknowledge and maybe segue into one of the things we wanted to talk about here, and that is the specter. And I saw what you did there. I wanted to point out.
Thank you.
Hanging over us and... Oh, sorry. Let me pause and add a little asterisk for the non-Bond nerds. Spectre, spelled with an R-E, is an acronym for one of the villainous global shadowy organizations that Bond fights through multiple incarnations and multiple...
Yes, indeed.
Anyway, the Spectre hanging over us does not involve lasers or sharks or mysterious lairs that we know of, but it does involve the fallacy of the AI replacement. And I thought maybe that's something we might want to chat about for a minute, because I think everybody has been affected by this. I was reading an article this morning. Was it an article? What was I doing? I was processing input. Oh, it was a podcast from a great book that I'm looking forward to reading that I'll refer to in a minute. But it's basically talking about how so much of this replacement, a lot of the things we talk about in AI, it's really a classic tech hype cycle.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Finding the there is a much more interesting conversation to have. And I'm not sure where you're thinking you'd like to riff on this. We could go down any number of rabbit holes, alleyways, or, you know, mysterious clandestine drop-off locations.
We could with this. And thank you for picking up on all I was putting down there, Jeff, as usual. I can't not think about AI all the time because that's just the way it is. But as I began to think about this issue of Bond and the Bond actor, and it dawns on me that it is, in fact, at the very sort of forefront of what we're all wrestling with. It's what can be replaced with AI, what is real and what is not real. And as I thought about the fact that, like, I could go busily build a digital twin of myself and ultimately imbue all my knowledge into an AI. And could I sell that as here's a halfway decent CMO available for your startup? Just go ahead and ask it what it should do and you'll get Norman's responses. And then, of course, I can be replaced by some great CMO of the past. And it just unveils layers upon layers of who and how we are and how we will exist. And to your notion of, is this a hype cycle? Absolutely. It is a hype cycle. But every hype cycle leaves a lasting legacy of change on the landscape. And the question we all have to wrestle with is, what is the legacy of change that this hype cycle will leave on the landscape? And are we headed towards a place where there will be continued growth in how we and do marketing and the knowledge that we create? I hope so. Or are we headed to a place where it'll be endless regurgitation of all the greatest hits of the past? And so it really the question is the future a new music channel or an endless recycling of the past?
Well, and as you know, I'm a big fan of endless recycling of the past when it comes to music. And part of that is there, I believe there, and this, I swear there's going to be an analogy here. I mean, you know this, right? But, you know, there isn't, I love the new stuff. I love the old stuff. And the thing I like the best is finding old stuff and looking at it through fresh eyes. Or, and here's a music analogy, sorry to abandon the Bond theme briefly, but the music analogy is I've been really into 70s soul and funk right now. And there's so much great music that has been maybe either undiscovered or just not heard as much. And it's so fun to go back and hear this great stuff and bring it up. And here's how this
you will put
back.
Some of that in the show notes, I'm assuming.
I'll try to do that, or I'll point to a playlist, but that I've made. But the thing that I wanted to highlight here is, and I think you hit the nail on the head here, is, and I've heard this presented in multiple ways. Okay, enough parentheticals. My point is that AI produces C-level work. It is the average, meaning the most likely thing to come next. Again,
right. Exactly how LLMs work.
Yep, predictive algorithms. Yep. It's the most likely thing to be said next, which is perfectly fine when you're doing, let's say, a press release. Right?
Give me the structure. Exactly, right. And those are things that are rote and should be routine. And I endorse this and I embrace AI in all of my daily work. And I am looking for... I have a rule. If someone asks me to do something more than twice, that means that I probably should automate the darn thing in a way that, you know, AI can handle better than I can. But I also, I look for creativity and strategy and thinking that goes beyond the playbooks. And this may be a topic for further diving in, is like marketers who bring their playbook with them from place to place, good or bad, separate question. People who bring their playbook with them through life to whatever they do, good or bad, right? The AI is a playbook. It's what has done before and what has worked. It's pattern recognition. But sometimes new patterns emerge. And how do we play in that space? That's the challenge that I think, and I think it's at some level an existential challenge. Like, do I want to be James Bond in these movies and watch myself in a, you know, 3D hologram live through the events of Goldfinger? Both yes and no. And do I want someone else watching me do that? Definitely not. And I find that the more I think about the absurd, the more I can bring it back to the harsh reality of what am I going to do tomorrow in my job to find that balance between using AI in a valuable way and still maintaining the sharp edge I need as a marketing leader and thinker to do good work.
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying, and it brings up so many different thoughts. I'm trying to decide which makes the most sense to come back with. And again, I believe this will be a theme we come up with more than once, but there's a degree of productivity and creativity, and maybe that's a good way to frame it. AI seems to help with some productivity for mechanical things that do not require the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of one of the most interesting.
I like that, productivity versus creativity. And I have this discussion a lot. Like I was speaking with a photographer recently, just sort of talking about AI, and like, yes, you can instruct AI to produce a photograph or a photographic image of anything. The question is, can you replicate the unexpected, right? The great photographs that capture a moment that you never would have guessed was going to occur. Like, that's the art of photography, that you can't tell an AI, imagine a moment that's never going to occur, and yet here it is. And somehow that's going to be the right prompt. Now, I realize that over time, the prompts will get better, the systems will get better, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to believe, and as a marketer, I truly want to believe that there is the unknown, the unseen, the unexpected, just waiting around the corner for us. And that's where people can actually excel.
I think that's a great way to come towards the wrap up of this particular episode. Building on what you're saying, maybe a question for future episodes is, how do we, if we are understanding this and internalizing this, how do we effectively communicate this to folks we are working with? Or do we want to, with another subject? But also, it's like helping people understand the resources that go into building great marketing, great communications, great content stacks, great partnerships, great ecosystems, all these things. There's only so much that can be automated for productivity in there. And then there is a level of creativity and connection that is natively human. And I think that's the place where folks who, to come back to something we mentioned in episode 3, folks who think they know what the job is because they read an article or had drinks with someone who does it, right?
Yep.
They're oversimplifying, and therefore they know, well, obviously, I mean, I saw this thing, I saw an OpenAI keynote, and obviously your jobs aren't needed anymore because AI can do it all. Maybe helping with some of that framing around, you know, automation and productivity versus creativity and connection.
I agree completely. And if you'll indulge me, Jeff, I will end this by saying, the name's Guadagno, Norman Guadagno. Thank you for joining this episode of the CMO Reset.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CMO Reset. You can find us on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and at cmoreset.com.